Well, thank you, choir and musicians, for that great time of music as the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up. As we think of this wonderful opportunity that we have in our country to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly this is a great event. And as we think of it tonight, we would like to just take a few moments to think of the greatness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth as we celebrate it this specific time of year. First of all, as we think about the greatness of this event, we want to think about the greatness of the person. The greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us a number of things about this babe that was born. Of course, the Gospel of John tells us that this Lord Jesus was the eternal God. The Lord Jesus is introduced in John chapter 1, as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. And here we recognize the greatness of the Lord Jesus because He is the eternal Son, the Creator of the universe with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We think of His greatness as we think of, it says there in Matthew that He was the King of the Jews. In Luke, it says that He was Christ the Lord. In Mark, it tells us He's the Son of God. In Philippians, it tells us that the Lord Jesus, who was in the form of God, took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. It's really beyond our comprehension that the eternal God of heaven, in His eternal plan, would send the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, that He would come and be born of a virgin, take on human flesh, the greatness of His person. John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, as he saw the Lord ascended in heaven in His glory, the Bible tells us that as he saw Him, he fell at His feet as dead. That beloved disciple who had walked with the Lord Jesus on this earth, His glory had been robed in His flesh, and he saw Him in His glorified state. His greatness. We think, though, as the Lord came, we think of the greatness of the darkness. There in Matthew chapter 4, it tells about how the Lord Jesus Christ came to Nazareth. And as He came to live in Nazareth, it says this, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. The great darkness of this world. Galilee was known as, in those days, a place of great darkness because it was mainly inhabited or greatly inhabited by Gentiles. Any invading army came from the north and always quickly overran Nazareth before it got down to Jerusalem and the capital city in Jerusalem. And and so there's a cloud of darkness that hovered over Nazareth. But it was a picture of the great darkness of this world. And we think of that night that the Lord Jesus was born. The great darkness that was all over the world. The great emperors of the world had no idea that the Christ child had been born. The millions of the earth had no idea that the Savior had been born. But on the other hand, Jesus said, I can't come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the darkness of this world, the darkness of sin, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of the power on people being under the power of sin, the darkness of people lost, having no idea how that their sins can be forgiven, only hoping somehow that maybe by some good deed or something or some religion, they might somehow attain eternal life. World in darkness. The world still is in darkness. As you think of it today, perhaps the world is even greater darkness than it was 2,000 years ago. He came to a dark world, and it was a great darkness. But think of God's great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, it's easy to love those who love us. You know, communists love communists. Capitalists love capitalists. All those things like that. But Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were in rebellion against God. While we were enemies. While we are going our own way. The love of God is beyond comprehension. The greatness of God's love for you and for me. And then think of the greatness of the opportunity. The greatness of the opportunity. What is available to us through Jesus Christ? The greatness of the opportunity that is available to all men through Jesus Christ. Now, we call it an opportunity because no one receives it automatically. But the opportunity is there. The opportunity for forgiveness of sins. The opportunity of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, Jesus Christ. Because he only was qualified to die for our sin. And he was the only one who did die for our sin and can offer eternal life. The opportunity, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now think of the world in which Christ lived. Think of the people of Israel. Think of the people of Galilee. And to think of the great opportunity they had. Their Savior was there. And yet most of them rejected him. And still true today. The great opportunity. What Jesus Christ can do for a life. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And yet, many people ignore that opportunity. The world has ignored that opportunity. But that is still a great opportunity that is available by faith. I think of that phrase there in Matthew chapter 13 when Jesus was in his hometown in Nazareth as he started his ministry. It says, and he did not many miracles there because of their unbelief. The opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. The opportunity to turn to him. You know, the world says you're going to lose a lot by becoming a Christian. Actually, the opposite is true. You lose everything by not turning from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ. There is no comparison, no simile of what a person loses by having just mere religion, churchianity, and not having the real thing, Jesus Christ. The Bible says he came into the world, and the world was made by him. The world didn't recognize him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jewish people, supposedly looking for their Messiah, but they received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, there's a huge difference between religion, trying to earn your way to heaven, and knowing Jesus Christ, receiving him as who he is, the Lord, the Savior. As yours. The Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, why settle for having just some kind of religion when you can become a child of God? When you can become a member of the family of God by spiritual birth, and it's real. It's real. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I wonder tonight, have you taken advantage of the greatness of the opportunity that avails you and I through Jesus Christ? Are you letting your life just kind of slip away with a certain degree of mediocrity when Jesus Christ could make your life all that God intended it to be? Perhaps you're here and your life is full of trouble and the burdens of sin and lack of peace because you have not yet come to Christ. Receive him, the greatest opportunity to have forgiveness of sins and a new life. And it's available. By available as a free gift by personal faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, not intellectual faith, but even the devils know that Jesus lived. But personal faith, a faith that decides, a faith that turns, a faith that trusts, a faith that surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ as who he is for yourself. And you know, you may have come here tonight with a special need in your life. You could leave here tonight with the great, having received the greatest opportunity of all of life, reach Jesus Christ and eternal life. But only you can do it. And that's the great message of the Bible. It's a message of personal faith in Jesus Christ. And that is worth all your consideration tonight. And I would trust that you would consider the status of your soul tonight and what you have done with Jesus Christ. Or if you will be like the multitudes of mankind who have had the greatest opportunity and really did almost nothing with it, because they did not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Let's just have a moment of prayer. And maybe right there in that pew, you could and you should turn from going your own way. Turn as a sinner. Turn to the only one who can save you from your sin. Turn to the only one who can give you eternal life and make you a child of God, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for just a reminder of the greatness of that night of the Lord Jesus becoming incarnate. And truly, Lord, the songs of the angels were glorious as they beheld the plan of redemption taking place. And Lord, all of that brings us to this time tonight where we have this great opportunity to consider that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to die, came to this earth to give eternal life. not in a mysterious form and a religious form like so many people are lost in, but to really know Him and to have eternal life by accepting Him by faith. And so I pray that, Lord, that You would use this short message and the message of worship tonight to point people to Jesus Christ, that they would search their own heart and their own life about their reality of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for that soul that is even tonight broken before You tonight, desperate, on their last ropes, Lord, knowing that no matter how good they are, they're still a lost sinner, and that they would tonight trust Jesus Christ by faith, or seek someone out who can help them, or to truly seek You and the truth of Your word personally. We give this to You in Jesus' name. Amen.